Let's pray.
Yes.
God, you're great, and I pray that now that you be with me as I'm opening up your word and sharing with these brothers some things from the scriptures, I pray that the Spirit will work and move in me to get across these points, and I pray that it'll work and move in them to really open up their hearts a little bit later on. Father, work and move in our lives because we need you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
All right. So, brothers, in his blood, let's look at 1 John chapter 1. We'll start there.
Okay.
I was told I had 20 minutes. I've got about four scriptures to look at. And, you know, so we're just going to jump right into it, okay? All right. 1 John chapter 1, starting in verse 5. It says, "This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live in the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar and his word is not in us." Okay, so this starts out as a comparison between light and darkness, right? Now, as you look at it, I see four things that are connected with walking in the light. Okay, what do you see?
We fellowship with one another.
Fellowship with one another, that's one of them.
Truth.
Okay.
God is light.
Okay.
There's no darkness.
Okay. Here's what I see, guys. Mm-hmm. Fellowship. The blood of Jesus. Right? You see that? Mm-hmm. We're connected to the blood of Jesus. Purification. Mm-hmm. Right? That blood purifies us. And then finally, down in verse 9, okay, and it talks about purifying us again, confession. Okay? And so all those things are connected in the light. The fellowship, the blood, the purification, and the confession are being open with our lives. What is connected to the darkness? Lying. That's it. That's the only thing that John connects to the darkness here is lying, hiding our sin, not being open. Okay? And he goes on to say that when we lie, when we're not being open about our sin, we make God out to be a liar. Now, this is the one thing we know about God. God can't lie. God's not a liar. But we make him look like a liar when we hide our sin. And so we don't want to do that. Confession is really important. Okay? And what I'm going to talk about mostly is two ways that we confess. Or maybe a better way of putting it is two people. Well, God's not a person, but two entities, if you will, that we confess to. We need to talk about confessing to God and then talk about confessing to our brothers. Okay? You guys still with me?
Yes.
Great. Let's look over in Psalm chapter 32. Psalm 32, and we're going to talk about just confessing to God and being real and open and honest with God. Okay, Psalm chapter 32, and I'm going to read verses 1 through 7. Okay. "Blessed is the one whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the one whose sin the Lord does not count against them, for in whose spirit is no deceit." There's that, you know, don't lie stuff again, right?
Right.
"When I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy on me. My strength was sapped as in the heat of summer. Then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. Therefore, let all the faithful pray to you while you may be found. Surely the rising of the mighty waters will not reach them. You are my hiding place. You will protect me from trouble and surround me with songs of deliverance. Okay. So here's one, you know, one of the things that David says here. Okay. When we're hiding our sin, God's hand is heavy on us. Right? You see that in verse 4? In verse 3, when I kept silent, God's hand was heavy on me in verse 4. My strength was sapped. It wears us out to hide our sin. Now, I know that from experience, okay? What it's like to, you know, to hide sin and how that feels, how it kind of robs us of our strength and our joy, you know? And one of the things that I appreciate about this particular passage is at the end of verse 5, it says, and you forgave the guilt of my sin, right? Now, we're brothers, right? We're men. So I'm going to be real with you, okay? We as men, and I don't know how much the women struggle with impurity, right? But I know we do, okay? Right? That much I know, okay? And I can tell you that getting married doesn't necessarily solve that problem because I'm still a man, okay? And so the temptation still there, okay? So my experience, first as a single man, then as a married man, had been to give in to impurity, okay? To look at things I shouldn't be looking at, to think about things I shouldn't be thinking about, okay? Do things I shouldn't do, all right? Okay? And I know that when I was not open with a brother, okay, it was very easy to give into it again the next day, and the next day, and the next day, okay? That's my experience, okay? But when I get real and get open, I do better. Yeah. Okay. Now, I'm bringing, because this is really about talking to God, not about the brothers. And we're going to get to that in a few minutes. But just being open and honest helps deal with that particular sin. Because I don't know about you. I know this for myself. And other brothers have said the same thing to me. Okay. But there's just nothing that takes you out like impurity. Yeah. Right? It feels so guilty, so wretched, dirty, when you give into those things, right? And there's been times I just, you know, in the past, you know, thanks be to God that recently I've done pretty well in this area in my life. Okay, you know, amen. I mean, I have only God to thank for that. It's not that I'm, you know, somehow, you know, found. Yeah. The temptation is still there every day, just like everybody else. But God has given me some victory, and amen. Okay, but I know, I mean, I've been that guy that moped around the fellowship because I just didn't feel worthy of being among the saints. Mm-hmm. That's been me. It has been. And, you know, so they're just, you know, we can be prideful or we can be, you know, debaucherous, you know, gluttonous or whatever. It doesn't have the same impact that impurity does in terms of the guilt that we feel. At least that's been my experience. And it sounds like most of you guys know what I'm talking about. Okay. But this, what David says here is, you forgave the guilt of my sin. He didn't just forgive the sin. He took away the guilt too. And that's something good to know. Okay. And what David is talking about here he's talking about acknowledging it before God in prayer. Right? He's going to God and just laying it all out. Being really honest about what's going on in his life. And we need to do that in prayer, okay? Because here's another thing that I've kind of figured out, you know, in 55 years on the planet, right? We can justify just about any behavior. We can justify it, okay? We can sort of figure out some way to make whatever it is that we're doing okay. And so when, you know, when we are real before God and not trying to justify things, okay, God's going to hear that and he's going to bless that.
Right.
Okay. And so I think it's important that we do in prayer, go to God and spend time confessing and say, God, you know I messed up. Okay. Here's what I've done. I've been impure, or I had a fit of rage with my children, or whatever it is that you may need to put out there. But we need to be open and honest with God.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But here's the good part of it. You know, if we humble ourselves like that, here's what David says in verse 7 about God. You're my hiding place. You will protect me from trouble. And surround me with songs of deliverance. God wants to be our hiding place. He wants to be that protection for us. He wants to, you know, sing songs around us. You know, that's what I mean. He wants to surround you with songs. He wants to deliver us from our sin and from the guilt of our sin. All of those feelings that we carry around with us.
Yeah.
Okay. So we need to be open and honest with God. All right. And we need to be open and honest with each other. Look over in James chapter 5. In verse 16. Okay, and we'll read verses 15 and 16. It says, and the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they've sinned, they'll be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. I'm going to go ahead and read 17 and 18. Elijah was a human being as we are, even as we are. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again, he prayed and the heavens gave rain and the earth produced its crops. Okay. And so he's talking about two things here, confession and prayer. And that's really kind of what the lesson that we have tonight or here is about. Confess to each other. Okay. Again, I'll be honest with you guys. It really helps me when other people know my junk. Okay. It really helps me when other people know my sin, my struggles, my temptations. Okay. That helps me. And, you know, here's an example. All right. During the holidays, I put on 10 pounds, right? Okay, then I'm talking from Thanksgiving, not Christmas, right? Thanksgiving to New Year's, put on 10 pounds, all right? But that wasn't all just the holiday eating. I was doing it, and not that it's sinful for me to go to Quick Check and buy snacks, okay? But I threw a lot of money down at Quick Check, 7-Eleven, you know, all that stuff, and ate a bunch of stuff I shouldn't have been eating, okay? Now, after the holidays, the good news, I've lost about 5 of that 10, you know, already. Mm-hmm. Good for me.
Good,
okay. But I know that in the morning, when I'm, you know, when I'm feeling a little bit of stress, mm-hmm. I want to comfort myself with food. Okay. I want to run to Quick Check and get a couple of sandwiches and a couple of honey buns and a giant coffee and sort of comfort myself with food. Now, it's not much of a comfort, really, but that's, you know, kind of how I think and feel, all right? But it's throwing down like $8, and it's food that I don't need. Okay, so here's what happened this morning. I was feeling stressed this morning before I left for work, and I wanted to go to Quick Check and ease my stress with food. So I said to Wendy, because she knows all this, one day I really want to go to Quick Check and stress eat. Because I knew if I told her, I wouldn't do it. Because later, she'd say, so how'd it go this morning? I didn't want to have to say, I went to Quick Check and I bought 2 sandwiches and 2 honey buns and a giant coffee. And I, you know, and so the fact that she kind of knows my junk, right? She knows the stuff that I get tempted with. It helps me. If I'm open and real. So I didn't give in to that temptation today. I didn't go spend $8 at Quick Check today. Amen. Okay? And good for the Hughes budget, right? okay? Because if you do that three or four times a week, right, that starts to add up really fast, okay? You go, $8 is not a lot of money. Well, it is if you do it three or four times a week, right? Because I get stressed, you know.
Pretty often?
Yeah, often, right? Okay? So if we know the temptations, if we're real and honest with somebody, they can help us. They can hold us accountable. So it's good to have somebody in your life that knows all your stuff. Okay? And then we can pray for each other. We pray for each other's healing. That's what it says, right? Verse 16. Pray for each other that you may be healed. Right? We want to be healed. And, you know, this whole passage from 15 to 18, it says some awesome things about prayer. Right? And if we'll pray for each other, and we're righteous, okay? It says that the prayers of the righteous are powerful and effective. And so we can pray for each other, and we can help each other be healed. Here's what it says in verse 15, that prayer can make a sick person well. That's good, right?
Yes.
Here's what it says in verse 17 and 18. Prayer can cause it to rain or not rain, right? That's what Elijah did. That's pretty powerful stuff, okay? And so we've got that kind of power at our disposal. We're putting it before God because he definitely has that kind of power, right?
Yeah.
If we're putting it before God and he's answering our prayers, you know, we can overcome the sin that's been dogging us for years. We can have victory because he's an awesome and powerful God. Here's what it says in Acts chapter 3, verse 19. This will be the last scripture, and then I'm going to start wrapping it up. Acts chapter 3, in verse 19. Because, this ties into the whole thing about us being healed, right? 3:19 says, "Repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out and that times of refreshing may come from the Lord." So as we're praying for each other, and we're having those victories, we're going to have those times of refreshing. God's going to heal us and refresh us. Okay? And so, I'm going to read something to you, Wendy and I, as we were preparing our lessons. And her lesson's probably a little different from mine. Okay? But we were kind of looking at these things together. And she shared this with me from a book that she had read recently from Gloria Baird. And I'm going to read a little bit to you about this very thing here. Okay? And she talks about something called the turtle syndrome. Okay? What do we know about turtles?
They're slow.
They're slow, but that wasn't what I was looking for.
Hard shell.
They have shells. Okay? And what's that shell for? It's protection, right? It's protection.
Yes.
Okay? But if they stay inside the shell,
they're protected.
They're protected, but they also die because they can't eat. They want to eat or move. They have to come out of the shell, right? Okay. All right. So here's what Gloria Baird says. But the turtle cannot eat or move itself unless its head and legs come out of the shell. The shell does not keep out, the shell does keep out the bad, but it could also keep out the good. The turtle must be vulnerable in order to live. Obviously, we're not turtles, and God does not give us shells for protection, but we often try to protect ourselves. Okay, now I'm going to pause here for a little Hughes commentary, okay? She's right in what she's saying. A lot of times we try to protect ourselves by not being open about what's going on in our lives. Somehow we think, okay, I'm going to protect myself. Nobody's going to know this. And that's really the opposite way of how we need to think. Okay? We want to be in control. When feeling weak, we may want to try to seem strong. When feeling lonely, we may try not to need anyone. When feeling tempted, we may try to hide it. Too often, our deepest emotions are the ones we bury or mask under our shell. In a similar way that the turtle has to be vulnerable to live, we also have to be vulnerable to experience real life. God makes it possible for us to be vulnerable because he is our protector. In reading through the Psalms, I was amazed when I realized how many descriptions of God relate to protection. Shield, refuge, stronghold, rock, fortress, deliverer, support, savior, redeemer, ever-present help, hiding place, which we just saw in Psalm 32, right? And so when we're tempted to protect ourselves by not being open, we're not really trusting God. We need to go ahead and put it out there and say, you know what? Here's what's going on in my life. And trust that God is going to protect us. And my experience has been, when I'm open, it really bonds me to the brothers. It doesn't make them say, man, Tom Hughes is a mess. Okay. Well, Tom Hughes is a mess. Okay. Okay. I got news for you. So are you. Okay. We're messes. And we all know that. So we might as just well be just honest about it. Okay. All right. I'm going to finish. As I've come to be more aware of the protection God has promised for my life, I've become convicted that my self-protectiveness is sin. When I try to protect myself, I am trying to take over God's role. My lack of faith that God will really do what He promised moves me to try and take control. I have to decide to trust God and be totally vulnerable with Him. To me, that means expressing my feelings and completely surrendering to Him. When I can trust God to be my protector, it is much easier to be vulnerable with the people around me. Vulnerability breeds vulnerability, helping me to see that others have similar struggles. Out of my shell, I can actually feel safer and more bonded with others than ever. Okay. And I really appreciated what Gloria shared there. Okay. And so I'm going to bring this in for a landing. Okay. Guys, tonight, you have an opportunity to do both of the things that I've talked about. Mm-hmm. Confess to God and confess to each other. And the great news is you get to do it at the same time. Mm-hmm. As you get together and just, you know, pray and confess to God with the brothers, they're going to hear your confession. They're going to know the stuff that you struggle with, and they're going to be able to help you. So here's the benefits of confessing to God and the brothers at the same time. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Tell us.
It brings healing and times of refreshing that only God can bring. Okay. It brings purification. Okay. And it brings a greater fellowship and closeness with the brothers. And those are all good things and all things that we want. So thank you guys for inviting Wendy and I to talk with you guys tonight. I really appreciate this opportunity. You know, you guys, you're awesome. I have a lot of respect for you, and that's it.